Back in the 80s, I thought I could conquer the world.
Aloha.
Swatch.
Watch.
New McDLT.
Face it, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Nobody appreciates your sense of humor, you know?
Pontiac Fiero.
He slimed me.
Now, only $8.99 at Shakey's.
Hey, you guys!
I want my MTV.
Bueller.
And what's it gonna do?
My density has popped me to you.
But it's only authentic if it says members only right here.
Live from Members Only Studios, welcome to Living in the 80s, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s. The best that we remember.
There it is. You got the tagline.
I did it. I remembered that, Tom.
I love it. Good job.
A little proud of myself right now.
That's great. It's a great tagline.
Well, hey, if you guys have been following along the last few weeks, we have been talking about iconic 80s moments. Things that like were... Matt, go ahead and explain.
Well, no,
this is our last one.
Yeah,
if they haven't been here, just kind of tell them what we're talking about.
All we're looking for is what makes you think 80s. We're not asking you for your favorite. We're not asking you for the best. We're not asking for the most successful or the most popular. But just it's that word association that we're going to do a music tonight. So when we talk about a male or a female or a group, what just pops in your brain that just screams 80s to you? There's no wrong answers. There's no bad answers. It just because everyone's going to have a different perspective and a different thought and a different reason for why they choose what they choose. But what pops in your brain, 80s, when we talk about these topics?
All right. We'll do it. But I'm going to mix it up a little bit here. For you know what? Let's stop, take a brief time out, a little commercial. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We are going to go through our iconic 80s music here. Like Matt mentioned, we are talking about maybe not necessarily our favorites. Maybe they could be, but most iconic. When you hear this, you think of this title, this song. So I'm going to mix up the order a little bit here. We're going to save the first one to last.
Sounds good.
So first will be last. Last will be first. So we're going to start off with the most iconic 80s album, in your opinion. So all the albums released in the 80s, go, Kevin.
Ooh, boy, I get to go first, huh? And we're not doing any greatest hits, I would assume.
Greatest hits do not count.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one to start off on. I've got to go with Thriller. I mean,
that's the obvious.
That's
yes.
The obvious one, right? Ahead.
I think it's probably unanimous here that we would say that first. Yes.
Yeah. It was by a guy named Michael Jackson.
Say it again, Michael.
Michael Jackson.
Jackson.
Johnson.
Okay.
Michael Johnson.
Michael Jackson.
He was a track star, I believe.
Who was more track than field? I don't know if you followed along, but yeah. Okay.
So, Michael Jackson, he was, when he was younger, he was in a group called the Jackson 5 with his brothers. Mm-hmm. His sister is...
Anywhere?
No, never. His sister was Janet Jackson on Super
Miss
Go
Jackson,
Anywhere.
If you're nasty.
No, yeah, that's right. gotta go with Thriller. That was
Thriller, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fair pick for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
To me, iconic. Just when it pops on, I'm back in the 80s. Is Joshua Tree, U2.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think just all those songs just takes me back. I'm there. I'm driving in a car. I'm cruising. I love that album. The whole thing. It's just it's probably my favorite album. And not just a favorite, but I mean, I think it's to me, it screams 80s.
Oh, me too. I remember when that album came out, it was just an iconic moment for me because I was a U2 fan already, and my fandom with U2 started like very early in the MTV days and continued to grow. And then now we're up to 1987, mm-hmm. and they had done Live Aid already. They had done, they're starting to just getting huge. And when that album came out, it was amazing. And then we saw them in concert.
Yeah, up in Cleveland.
Oh my goodness, that was great.
It was awesome.
That was an outstanding, just, at that point in my life, and for many years, that was the best concert I'd ever been to. So, yeah.
There you go.
But then he saw Sean on Hot.
There it is.
The Ohio State Fair.
No, I saw the Osmonds at the Ohio State Fair. Wow. Thank you very much. Okay. You know what? They never got the credit they really deserved.
I agree.
What a live performance they have. You know
what? Nobody rocked, outside of Elvis, nobody rocked it.
Like
Elvis and Evel Knievel, outside of those two guys, nobody rocked the jumpsuit like the Osmonds.
There it is.
Was there it a little is. Bit country and a little bit rock and roll?
Yeah, there it is.
It was.
There it was.
Nice.
A little bit track, a little bit of field. Okay, we got. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. So who am I and why am I here? Because I never get invited to any of the music podcasts.
I know. See that? We figure you've been around long enough, you've endured.
He's earned the right.
You've endured the experience enough that
we'll see if
probably it's time.
We'll see if this is a one and done or not. So yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Your probation.
Vote when we're all done here. All right. My album of the 80s, it was during my senior year, Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys.
There it is.
Yeah.
Very iconic.
Straight iconic.
Yeah, everybody remembers, you know, you got to fight for your right to party and No Sleep Till Brooklyn, but I liked songs like Slow and Low and She's Crafty and Rhyming and Stealing.
There it is. And I see you with your eyes on, but I kind of now I see a gold chain on the outside of the eyes on.
I did actually have a big nugget on my gold chain.
Oh my goodness!
Getting in the Fiero.
Yes.
It's all coming together.
Did you also have your License to Ill?
I did have my License to
Ill.
Very good.
Did that one also have Paul Revere? Was that on a different album?
That was on there also. Yeah.
That's what this is about, because may not be like your, it might be your favorite, but that is iconic 80s. That's good stuff.
Sure is.
Some Brass Monkey.
Oh,
that sounds awesome.
That Funky Monkey.
I tell you what, man, it's funny because back when that album came out, I heard the Beastie Boys and I thought, oh, you got to fight for your right to party. That's catchy and that's funny. I wasn't too much. I mean, I would listen to some hip hop and rap and just go, oh, that's okay. It's nice. I didn't really pay as much attention to it. It felt like a fad to me.
Right.
It was years later where I really started to appreciate some of that stuff. But
yeah.
But Beastie Boys came out. I remember Paul McNeil had the tape, and we'd get his car and he'd play it.
The Chevette.
It's the only tape he had.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. I think he might have had a Striper tape too.
He might have.
But it was usually Beastie Boys.
I play a little softball with Paul. I'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah. I'll tell you. He could probably sing Brass Monkey right now backwards because I think the tape deck was messed up. That's the only way we knew it. Yeah. But as time has gone on, man, the Beastie Boys have become iconic. Mm-hmm. Like, not just 80s iconic, but overall landscape music iconic.
Yep.
Have you guys seen the Beastie Boys documentary on Apple TV, Apple Plus?
Just watched it. Like,
wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So basically they are in a large theater, the two surviving members, and they are talking about the origins of the band and, you know, how they got started. They listened to like this rock fusion kind of band, not anything close to rap. And they ended up doing a song. It was a parody song, but hit big locally. And they loved doing it. And so they started hanging around with these hip-hop people and stuff. And so that's how the Beastie Boys hip-hop thing was born. And they're going back and forth between talking about it, playing music clips, telling stories. It was the best documentary I had seen on music.
Yeah, they're telling it live in front of an audience, but like you said, showing clips and things, and they're talking about, you know, things that they had regretted that they had done. Like, they had a girl that played drums at one time, and they let her go because, you know, it doesn't make sense to have a girl in a Beastie Boys group, and how they kind of regretted that later, and it was really, really good.
I think they even talked to her, didn't they?
They kind of talked about how they ended up, I think, going on tour with her later, yeah. or they helped manage her band or something.
Yeah, so. I think, didn't she, like they had like a video of her talking about the band, like, you know, no regrets.
Yeah, I can't remember for sure, but it was really, really good.
What was it called?
It's Beastie Boys. Story of the Beastie Boys or something like
but
that.
But they had talked about how big that album first was, and they ended up hating You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rick Rubin insisted they did it.
Yeah, and they come out with their second album, doesn't do well at all. But then it ends up becoming a classic later on, like after the fact. And then they went on to do, you know, Sabotage, and then they had Intergalactic. You know, it's like, yeah. So, I mean, they were like very cutting edge. So
yeah.
And they were very young too when they did it.
Yes, so
good, yeah, that's a good one.
Good
that's
choice,
a
good Snowball.
Well, thank you.
So very so good. Far, you've earned your stripes.
All right. Yeah,
I'll probably let you down at some point.
So my,
what about you, leader?
So I would have said Thriller is most iconic,
mm-hmm.
but right after it, 1999 by Prince.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that, I mean, the song 1999, Delirious, DMSR, Lady Cab Driver, Little Red Corvette, Let's Pretend We're Married, all from the same freaking album.
Yeah,
it was released in 1982, and was, I mean, today. Like, I listened to it not that long ago, and it's like, brought me back to cruising around in Lisa McNichol's car. So, Lisa was this friend of ours. Me and David would hang out with her a lot. I didn't date her, but we'd been friends since we were kids. Like, I met her about the time I met Kevin at church back in the 70s. And whenever she was driving, that was the only tape she would play. And it's kind of like Paul and the Beastie Boys. And it would drive me and David nuts. Like, don't you have another freaking tape in here? Because, like, when I drove, we listened to, like, U2 or NXS or something. But after a while, you're getting to know every one of these songs. I'm like, wow, this is freaking good.
That's
so
good.
So when I think of 80s icons and their work, that 1999 album... was huge. Okay, next we're going to talk about iconic 80s bands. So these are not individual artists,
they're just bands.
Like, you think 80s bands.
All right.
Most iconic, Snowball, you're up, go.
Oh, I searched and I fought it, but I just kept coming back to the same name, Van Halen.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
I just couldn't think of anybody else that really represented, even though they started taking off in the late 70s. You know, they were very dominant in the early 80s and then reinvented themselves in the late 80s as sort of Van Hagar. So, you know, I think kind of the lead singer switch really just kind of helped rejuvenate the band and just gave them a different sound.
I would agree with that.
Usually you can't replace the lead singer and keep the momentum, but you're right. I mean, they actually became more, they had more...
They had more
top
hits.
40 hits They're after
sold yeah. more albums.
Yeah, actually, 5150 and OU812 were both number one, and yeah, both of those were with Sammy Hagar. So
yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would totally agree. Like, a lot of people will like vehemently pick sides, like Sammy or Dave or Sammy. Most people are saying Dave. But I'm like, I listen to the songs. It's like, I love the songs with David Lee Roth. I love the songs of Sammy Hagar. Like, I can't pick one. Now, for me, I think the Dave songs might be more iconic because they're played probably more.
Mm-hmm.
But Sammy's a better singer. No yes, question about it. And having seen them live with Sammy and with Dave, I'll take the Sammy version.
Okay.
He can sing better. He'll sing Dave songs. Dave, for one, he can't sing Sammy songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dave's a showman. He's great. Love him. Love the whole Van Halen, David Lee Roth days. No question. One of my favorite bands ever. But live, Sammy Hagar just brings a different energy to the band. He tells lots of stories. And hearing him sing in Panama and jump and stuff, it's like, Yeah, Dave, I want to hear you sing Pound Cake. You know, I want to hear you sing. I know he couldn't do Love Walks In. That would be a train wreck. Yeah. Trying to sing that. But love them both. But yeah, I agree with that. As iconic 80s bands.
Yeah. My iconic 80s band, just the go-to, would be Journey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's like, just saying that takes me back to, like, every high school dance, middle school dance that you ever been to. I mean, there's, you're going to, something like this little Steve Perry going on, it wasn't too much better than that. So, yeah. I think, I mean, they started in the 70s, but they were, you know, huge in the 80s. And so iconic. I mean, they're, you know, mainstream, simple, but to me, they scream 80s.
Yeah.
A little Journey.
I would agree. I would totally agree. I mean, I think the cool thing about Journey is the chicks digged them, but the guys did too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the rare band. It's either right. a chick band or band. Like, Van Halen's not a chick band.
Right.
Bon Jovi, kind of a chick band.
Right.
You got somebody like Journey that everybody loves.
Everybody loves Journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just wish they could put their differences aside and just get together one more time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Asian Steve Perry, he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not Steve Perry.
Right.
As much as he has tried to replicate Steve Perry's voice, he does a very good job. I've seen him live like 3 times. But they still sound like a Journey tribute band to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you're trying to be Steve Perry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not trying to sing songs to be cool, or I mean, it's like you're still trying to be like this cat.
Yeah.
Let the cat do his thing.
Yeah. Well, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, they were all there, but Steve did not sing with them. I'm like,
if there was ever a moment, they have
their chance. Yes. It's right there.
One time.
And one of the coolest things was they showed a thing backstage where Arnie I can't even say his name, the little Asian Steve Perry. I apologize if anybody's offended by that, but you know, I can't remember Arnie Pinata, whatever his name is. It showed him talking with Steve Perry, and he took Steve Perry's hand, and he's like, "Everything I have in my life, I owe to you." And Steve Perry said later on, he's like, what an awesome young man he was, and just how gracious. And
that's cool.
And they've got themselves a really great singer and a good person. So that you know, to me,
yeah.
It's like you like hearing those kind of stories. I would rather hear Steve Perry sing with them, right. But you know,
yeah,
that's good. What would you? I mean, are you a big Journey fan? I don't think I've heard you talk about them too much.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, I'm going to see him next month in concert. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're doing a trip to Texas, and we're going to a rodeo. And
Kevin and a rodeo. Here's our wearing big belt buckles and listen to George Strait. Next thing you know,
well, so that's the thing. After the rodeo, there's a concert every night. And so I look, and it's like country person, Journey. I'm like, we're going that night. So I love Journey. In fact, I told Diane. I said we're going to get a bunch of Journey songs to listen to that day and the days before, you know, leading up to it, so Brooke can be really comfortable with all the Journey songs, so she'll probably be sick of Journey.
She probably already is growing up around
She's
you.
She's probably heard most of them, yeah, but I'm going to try to throw some of the obscure stuff that she may not be as familiar with. Man. So
make
yeah.
sure you play her Stone in Love, the best, the best Journey song.
Come on.
The best! So,
that's nice. Good.
So who's your band, Kevin?
Well, even though they kind of broke up relatively early in the 80s, I still have to go with the Police. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put out
three
major albums in the 80s, and with Synchronicity, it was just huge. And then you can say they kind of went to 86 because they redid Don't Stand So Close to Me, 86, so they had one extra song in the 80s.
It's from the album Back to Synchronicity, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. So, yeah, so this was the joke. The Police broke up. It was kind of devastating. And, you know, Sting came out with his kind of jazzy solo album. And then Rob tells me at church one day, he goes, the Police are getting back together and they're putting out a new album. And I believed him for like weeks and weeks, you know. And then I finally found out he was joking with me. And Then, you know, a year or so later, he said, hey, they're putting out...
I even gave you the name of the album.
Yeah, yeah, he said, Return to Synchronicity, or... Yeah,
Back to Synchronicity.
Back to Synchronicity, something like
remember.
That.
I didn't remember dragging it on for weeks. I felt like
oh,
it,
no, yeah,
it was like
yeah,
5 minutes.
No, in my mind, I remember it being a while, and I kept thinking, this is really happening. And
you couldn't really Google and check
Yeah, you couldn't fact yeah. check anything back then. So then, fast forward to 86, he said, hey, the Police are putting out a Greatest Hits album, and they're going to have a new song called Don't Stand So Close to Me 86. Well, they already had a song called Don't Stand So Close to Me. And I'm like, they're not going to rename it Don't Stand So Close to Me 86. So for weeks, months, however, I didn't believe them until I got the cassette. I'm like, no, I'm serious. And there it is. So, yeah. He's not going to trick me twice.
Well, I didn't know it was going to come out, and I was watching a video. It was at Karen Cathy's house down in the basement.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
My bad, sir.
And it came on TV, on MTV. I'm like, holy cow. And then I told you, and you didn't believe me.
Yeah. And then I wasn't going to fall for that twice.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. And I remember you. You were like almost mad not believing me. Like, I'm going to prove to you that I'm not paying attention to bullcrap out of your mouth right now. And so, yeah.
Police is 80s. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Man, I love... when I very first heard The Police, it was da-do-do-do-da-da-da. Da, da.
Oh, yeah.
They would play it on the radio some, and it was a really... I love the song. And then I was watching America's Top 10, which is a video show with Casey Kasem, and... They would show like international videos sometimes, and they showed "Don't Stand So Close to Me." I'm like,
yeah,
what in the world? And I found the single at National Record Mart. Like, oh my goodness! And then later on, I bought the album. But I was hooked. Little did I know they're only going to make two more albums after that. But I got to listen to the old stuff with Roxanne and Message in a Bottle and all that.
Yeah, everything old thing she did was Magic came out in the 80s.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They had for the few years that they were together, they put out some great stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Put out was
you hot. You would think they were together for 20 years as many great songs and albums as they put out.
Yeah.
All right, my band, The Cars.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there
not
you
just
go.
One of my favorite bands, but. I'm thinking iconic 80s bands. You got to think Rick Ocasek, the Ray Bans. That sound is so freaking 80s.
Yeah.
Like even the stuff they did in the 70s.
Sounds 80s.
They were ahead of their time. I love just about every car song I ever heard. I first heard The Cars, I was watching Fridays, which was Saturday Night Live's answer. Or was ABC's answer to Saturday Night Live. Right. And The Cars were the music guests, and they played the song Touch and Go. I'm like, oh my gosh. The next week I went
out. These guys?
I rode my bike to Rinks, which is about 2.5 miles away, and bought the 45.
Rinks.
Yes.
Rinks.
And ever since then, I was absolutely hooked because of that one appearance on Fridays. So I went, you know, I still listen to them all the time today. But the Heartbeat City album that came out in 1984 was a great album, and just one of the most iconic albums of the decade for me. We're not talking about that album right now, but me personally, that's a great album.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay, now we're going to talk about male singers of the 80s. Male singers. So, Kevin...
I'm going to have to go with Bryan Adams. So
mm-hmm.
He had several albums throughout the 80s. In 85, I think it was, he had Reckless, which had Heaven on it, which went to number one. And then, of course, he had the little-known song that I found on like a mini cassette called Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a year before I met Diana. And
so he scoured the earth to find a girl named
Diana. Yeah, I like that song so much. I'm like, I got to find a girl to match this song. But yeah, I've liked his music for quite some time. So I'm with Bryan Adams.
All right. Yeah, I like Bryan Adams too. When the Straight from the Heart album came out, remember the girl I was dating at the time liked the song Straight from the Heart. So I bought the album. It's on the album Cuts Like a Knife, and every song on it's great. In fact, I just was listening to it a couple weeks ago, again for the 1 millionth time, probably.
Yeah, even the stuff that wasn't necessarily a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, there. just good, solid, good sound. Good sound. Matt, male singers.
Male singer. The first one just comes to my mind, and I don't know if I'm allowed to do it because he's kind of a duo, but he's the singer, the main one. But I would say Daryl Hall.
Mm.
I you know, the whole Hall & Oates stuff.
Maybe
I
mean, we should just add another category for duos.
Maybe. Well, I didn't see a duos category.
Yeah. I almost feel like Oates was a backup singer.
I know.
Like the other guy from Wham.
Yeah.
Andrew Ridgeley and John Oates have their own band called the main other guy.
Singer, so I would go with Daryl Hall.
I
love his sound. And to me, they just sound, you know, they got the 80s sound. They're cool. I like Daryl Hall.
Yeah. And he had a solo hit as well with Dreamtime. So. Yeah. He counts.
Three Hearts and the Happy Ending Machine was the album that came from. Oh. Great album.
There it is.
Great album. And yeah, I love Daryl Hall. I've seen him and John in concert a couple times. Great. When you think of 80s voices, Daryl Hall's has got it's got to be top of the class.
Right.
So yeah, very
good. Yeah, I mean, not only he's a good singer, but I mean, I think it's just when you hear it, it's like to me, it's. I mean, he sings now. You got me turned on to the whole
Live at Daryl's
stuff. Live at Daryl's stuff, which is awesome. But I mean, so he still sings. He sings good, but still, he's
good. 80s. But is he great?
He is great.
He's beyond great.
You're not selling me.
He surpassed. Oh no, great.
He's great.
He has so much soul in his voice for being a white guy. You know,
for being a white guy. Yeah.
So
yes, pretty fly for a white guy.
Yeah, he is pretty fly.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
All right, Snowball.
All right. How am I doing so far?
You're doing good.
All right.
Are you going to say John Candy again? Carl Lewis.
If you say Carl Lewis, you're out.
Carl Lewis is my favorite male singer.
Well, he does have a hit. So.
And he does kind of go along with his whole picks this last few episodes.
All right. This male vocalist, very unique sound. His voice is totally recognizable.
Carl Lewis.
Weird Al.
George Thorogood.
Bismarcky.
George Thorogood.
George Thorogood. Really? Okay. George Thorogood. Yes. Good choice.
What makes you pick him?
Yeah. I really like the sound. He kind of had that Bo Diddley beat going on in Bad to the Bone, but you know, other good songs like Gear Jammer sounds pretty similar to Bad to the Bone, you gotta be honest. But you got great songs like Willie and the Hand Jive. Don't forget that one.
Yeah.
Moving on over and everybody's favorite in college, I Drink Alone.
There you go.
Yeah,
good stuff, with man. Nobody else. Yes.
I like Kevin's response. He goes, huh.
It's not Michael Jackson or Prince. It's George Thorogood.
Well, don't forget about the Delaware Destroyers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Southside Johnny says, don't forget about the Jukes either. So
I love
that's funny. Out of all the iconic 80s singers, he says George Thorogood.
Mm-hmm.
I love George Thorogood.
It's an iconic sound. He's very different than everybody else.
But there's no wrong answers. That's
exactly.
There's some dumb answers, but there's no wrong
ones. So I got to check minus on that. Okay.
No, you know what? It's your list, man. It's your choice. But you know, none of us said Michael Jackson. Yeah. None of us said Prince. None of us said Phil Collins.
Yeah,
I'm not either. I'm going with Rick Springfield.
Yeah, nice.
There you go.
So we've got a
pandering
fan
to the crowd over here.
we've got a fan on the Living in the 80s page that doesn't hear enough, enough. We don't talk enough about Rick Springfield.
There he is.
But guys, seriously, when I think about iconic 80s people. His career literally took off in 1981 as a singer. By 1989, he was done. So
that
he kind of owned the 80s a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And his,
say what
his,
you want, but you're right. It's 80s.
You know what? He really had some good songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and the missus saw him live well after 89. She's pregnant. He looks up at her, and she loses it. He's looking at me!
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Misty, 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 misty.
He's going, is that mine?
I couldn't believe that she lost it that much with a simple glance. I mean, he did lock eyes with her, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wow, that
well,
is
good for
fun.
You getting close enough seats
that's,
that she could.
Good seats right there.
That he could see her.
County Fair, be honest.
No, it was downtown.
Downtown Delaware?
No, smaller. It's just like a club.
DLC?
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
That's cool. That's really cool.
It's a good venue.
They're indoor facilities. So.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Sweet.
I mean, you know, Jesse's Girl came out way back when.
Yeah.
And that was a huge show. I loved it. I mean, I'm 14 then, so
right.
Teeny bopper music's really all I knew. And so I liked it. But then he came out with other stuff later, you know.
He's iconic.
Yep, he is.
He is iconic.
I don't think he can play the guitar, but that's just
not really, not really. But you know, it's funny because he's on SiriusXM. You ever listen to his show? He'll have different themes each week, but like the music that he picks,
it's not stuff
he'll play. Play like Red Hot Chili Peppers, or he'll play like The Cure and stuff like that. So it's like he listens to a lot of stuff, and I've heard him say a lot about, you know, I'm a rock and roll singer, but I sing this music to make money, you know. So it's like, I don't want to say he's sold out, but
he's
like,
got a his big palate when it comes to music.
Yeah, like the record companies, the producers are like, we want you to be this teen idol. We want you to do this music, you know, so on and so forth. And he's making money, so good for him. But yeah, he had a very, very good career.
Yeah, and, he did.
You know, he's still
name
still
your favorite Rick Springfield song.
Hmm?
Name your favorite Rick Springfield song.
Jesse's Girl.
Yours?
Probably Bruce.
Oh, yeah. I heard that they played on the radio the other day.
Yeah.
And they don't play the original version.
No, it's a different version.
Yeah, it's like...
Have you ever heard of Bruce?
No.
So, this is a song he actually wrote in 79, but it didn't get released until the 80s. And so, one of the podcasts he did, or one of the times when he's the guest DJ, it was the topic was songs I don't like, and he played that. So
really?
Yeah, so but the song is about people mistaking him for Bruce Springsteen. So
yeah.
and it's kind of funny, but at the very end, it's like, my mom called me the other day, and when she hung up the phone, I swear I heard her say, bye bye, Bruce. So even his own mom is forgetting who he is and getting mixed up with Bruce.
He even says in the song, like, that we're only the same to a blind and crazy fool. Like, we are nothing alike,
yeah.
Except their names are
somewhat sort of similar.
One syllable, yeah. Spring something.
It's pretty funny. There's some pretty funny parts in the song. So,
so what's your favorite Rick Springfield song?
Probably Affair of the Heart.
Oh, that's a good
one.
Yeah.
I've Done Everything for You is a good one. I mean, he's got...
That's my favorite.
He's got a lot of...
You've Done Nothing for Me. Yeah, that's a good one.
Don't Talk to Strangers.
That's another good one.
He's got
Tiger by the Tail.
Oh yeah, that's
an album cut. That's a good one. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Very iconic.
I thought you were gonna bust out a little Richard Marx, but maybe not.
You know, 80s Richard Marx is really good, but nothing like 90s Richard Marx. Let's be honest. Which is another cool dude. Like, they'll have him on SiriusXM sometimes, like co-hosting shows and stuff, and. He's got a... I mean, he sung background for the Eagles and did some songwriting and things with those guys. So he's another one of these, like, Rick Springfield kind of guys. Like, we only hear these songs on the radio. Like, these are decent musicians that kind of know what they're doing. But, yeah, it's kind of funny that a
good
lot
stuff.
Of these people are like that. Okay, we're going to go now with female singers
female.
Of the 80s. I know who Matt's going to say.
You don't know who I'm going to say. Come on, man.
Taking his thunder.
I'm sorry. Just that way I'm making
all right,
things
Matt, go ahead.
No, I'm not doing Jody Watley. I'm not going to, because she's not my iconic age.
She wouldn't call her
She
iconic.
Was my girlfriend. They were very,
different
things.
Well, kind of like me and Elizabeth Shue.
Very similar, yeah. I mean, ever since, you know, when we split, I said I'm not going to bring her up in different things like that. I'm going my 80s girl is iconic is Cyndi Lauper. I mean, she just because she is
a 80s. Great wrestling manager.
She's a great wrestling manager. Lou Albano is a great video, but no, she's 80s. She's got the hair and she's
the
got
look.
The look. She's got skin disease we know about now that we didn't know about in the 80s.
I didn't know she had skin disease.
She's on a commercial or something?
Yeah. Commercial for like, not, so like, I can't think of the name.
Not
of
eczema or anything like that.
No, something like that.
Psoriasis.
Psoriasis. Scabies. But she has the look. She has that. I ain't saying she's great. I ain't saying the music was whatever. But when I see her, if I see a picture of her, that's straight. It's just, that's the 80s. And you just say, oh, yeah, we had to listen to stuff like that in the 80s.
Yeah.
And she to me, a poster chick for
the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. And she had a lot of good songs. Had good range. Had some slower songs. And, you know, she was very successful.
Yep. Very much.
I mean, Jody was like a better listener and kisser. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hugger.
She you know, she's really into that kind of thing. But Cindy was just, you know, Cindy.
So. She bopped.
She bopped. So it hurt. What do you got, buddy? What's yours?
I'm going to go with the sweet, soulful voice of Whitney Elizabeth Houston.
Well. Yeah,
she was on my list.
That's iconic.
In fact, both of those are on my list.
Very iconic.
Seven number ones in a row.
Yeah.
First two albums went to number one.
And then she met Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Goes downhill. Man, that's one of the saddest stories. And
it is.
It is. Yeah, I mean, she's a beautiful girl. Great voice.
Beautiful.
I mean, the music I wasn't totally a fan of. The slower stuff I like better. Not when she's trying to... That I Will Always Love You drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the extended range and stuff. But You Give Good Love? Oh, that's so good.
Sounds like a Valentine track right there.
Yeah, could be.
It didn't quite make the cut. As we know.
As we know.
That should have been on that side B, maybe. Yeah, right.
Is that what you have to say about Whitney?
She couldn't dance, though.
Well, if she found somebody to love her, maybe she would have.
Yes. See?
She just wanted to dance with somebody.
Yes.
She just wanted to dance with somebody.
And ended up dancing with Bobby Brown. Look where that got her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think her story does break my heart. Yeah. Just so. Yeah.
Well, and their daughter, too.
Yeah. Her and her daughter dying the same way, basically. In a tub.
And when you think about, like, you know, he gets villainized a lot. Bobby Brown does. But man, the dude's been through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you lose your wife, you lose your daughter. I mean, we all know the drugs and the stuff and everything. And that'll wreck a family. Mm-hmm. And man, his entire family's gone.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I don't know, you know,
what his role personally was, right.
Yeah. And what he feels today, even, like, if he looks back at those moments and just. And it would wreck me.
Mm-hmm. I just saw where New Edition was going to be performing in Cleveland, but I don't think he's touring with them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I saw him on something recently where he was with them. It was like an award show or something. They had a bunch of boy bands. They had like Backstreet Boys and them and New Kids on the Block were all like kind of going back. I think maybe Boys to Men too. They were like kind of back and forth, mm-hmm. like a medley kind of thing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Have they renamed themselves Old Edition?
I was thinking
it's the same thing. Yeah,
exact same thing.
Evening Edition.
That's even better.
That's so funny.
What about you, Kevin?
Well, the first one that came to mind, and there's some good ones out there, but I have to go with Pat Benatar.
There you go.
Hall of Fame snubbed Pat Benatar.
Don't even get me started.
I didn't know she wasn't. I just
believe that. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Little tiny thing, powerful voice. Mm. Just looks like somebody you wouldn't want to mess with. Mm-hmm. You know, she looks like she'd be feisty.
Yeah, she would say, "Hit me with your best shot," and you would, and then she would crush you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Said fire away, but fire away. So yeah, I'm going to go with Pat Benatar.
All right, I'm going to go with Madonna.
Yeah,
somebody had to.
Yeah, I figured somebody would take that. I had my three locked up in my chamber here. You guys said Cyndi Lauper and Whitney Houston, but Madonna was the number one I had. I mean, she has an unprecedented career, like mm-hmm. nobody else. Like every girl wanted to have that Madonna look, and which evolved over the years, and her mm-hmm. fans like. Whatever she wore,
they wore.
You know, you see it on MTV the next day. They're at the shopping malls buying it up.
She was the female Don Johnson, baby.
She was. She was. They would have had some pretty babies.
They would have. Man, I wish they had gotten together.
So that would have been an 80s marriage made in heaven.
So, Kevin, how disappointed were you when you didn't win the True Blue video contest?
I still haven't recovered from that, so I'll just tell you.
Here's a question for you. When did Madonna look her best?
I'm pretty much original Madonna.
Yeah. Because she had a... No one else ever had that look, right? And the next thing you know, everyone looks like that. I mean...
Yeah.
The she almost looked like she picked her stuff out of a trash can or something. She had, like, she lace gloves and... went to a thrift
store and just went down the aisle and just threw
them ribbons in her hair and everything. And then everybody's wearing... Yeah, so when she, you know, Lucky Star, Holiday, borderline that look when she first came out was...
Yeah, because I really didn't care for her Madonna image.
Yeah. Pretentious. Yeah.
What about you? What did you think?
I would probably go along with you guys, that original Madonna look, but the dress you up look, the pink dress, the Marilyn Monroe thing going on.
Oh, Material Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of scared you, though, didn't she, Matt?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. She's feisty.
You're intrigued, though.
She was feisty, yeah.
You're intrigued, though. All right, we got two categories left.
Oh, boy.
So, and they're very similar. Uh-oh.
In the words of Carl Lewis, uh-oh.
I'll have to watch that again when I get home tonight.
Will you?
I have to show it to Diana.
Diana, you got to see this.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What I love is the sportscaster is losing it. He couldn't
Charlie even... Steiner was classic. Oh, man. Okay, so music video. So not to be confused with song, because some videos have got a different iconic look and feel that may differentiate themselves from the song.
Right. So you could like a video and hate the song, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the imagery of some of these videos stick with us, where maybe the song does, but not that the video makes the song versus the other way around. So Kevin, I'll let you go first.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Take On Me by A-ha. Which they've redone in commercials. And I may have mentioned this to you, but our daughter and I were playing a video game one day. What was it? Just Cause was the name of the game. And she's kind of flying through the world, and you can hear the music off in the distance. And she goes into this building. You go down into the basement, and there's a glass screen, and there's a lady dancing behind it. And when you go around, she becomes, like, real-looking. It's kind of like the Take On Me effect. Oh, yeah. But it's in this video. It's kind of like an Easter egg in this video.
Nice.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But that video was just so different from anything. It's kind of like telling this comic book story, and she's kind of flipping through the pages to see how the story goes, and she gets pulled into it. I just thought that was so cool. So I got to go with Take On Me by A-ha.
Yeah, I think that's
a good one.
Yeah, that's straight 80s. I mean, I think everyone who lived in that era knows that video. And
Yeah,
that was on my list too. Crap.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, someone's got to say Thriller. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, I'll be the one to say it. Cause it's just, I mean, it's daggone Thriller. I mean,
it's daggone Thriller,
man. It's
there was nothing like it at the time.
No.
Yeah, it was
like a movie.
It's
like we went from like the 3 or 4 minute videos to like a 8 or 9 minute show or however long it was. I don't know how long it was, but it was just, it was unlike anything we've seen at the time. And it's still huge today. I mean, we go on cruise ships and they teach you the Thriller dance.
Yeah.
Today. Couple weeks ago on a boat. They were teaching us a Thriller dance.
Did you do it?
Absolutely.
Did too.
I mean, absolutely. And it's,
you even got pictures.
But I mean, it's huge.
Notice I said pictures.
I heard you. Okay. I just ignored you. But yeah, it's Thriller. I mean, and you got, is it Janet Jackson? Who was the Janet? I mean,
Ola Ray.
The girl?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was just. And the popcorn. We're seeing the memes, too.
The popcorn.
Man, it's just hilarious. But it's, it's
what awesome. Was the old guy's name narrating? I can't think of it off the top.
Vincent Price.
Thank you. His voice.
Though, yeah.
They said he did that in one take.
Yeah.
One take. Only he's Vincent. A professional.
Yes.
But didn't he, like, kind of get screwed on, like...
I think...
I heard somebody that he didn't get the royalties.
He could get
something.
A paycheck for it up front, or he could get... royalties, and he's out to take a paycheck. This isn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
Big mistake.
Yeah. The biggest thing ended up being VHS. Album of all time. It's not
VHS
a
VHS came out.
They said what he could have got, should have got, and what he did get, he got screwed.
Yeah, he did.
But still.
You would think that they would go back to him and go, you know what? You probably deserve more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not what the record industry does. It's all business. Yeah, right. Right. It's all business.
It's all business. They're not real people.
What about you there, Snowball?
Okay. This video, the song itself, I didn't think by itself was iconic, but being on MTV, the Run DMC cover of Aerosmith's 1985 Walk This Way, where the song itself, yeah, it was good, but the way MTV did, even the video wasn't that amazing. I mean, you just had Run DMC in one studio, and you had Aerosmith in another, and Aerosmith breaks through the wall, but, you know, it broke down barriers between, you know, two different groups where you had rap and rock and combined them together, and it actually kind of slingshotted Aerosmith. It kind of
started their fizzle careers out
a little bit. Yes, yeah, it did.
They were done.
They had their biggest hits after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It,
they had a whole second career.
Yeah.
that was amazing. So I'm going to break protocol here. I'm going with two.
Here we go. Hey, it's my podcast. I'll do what I want.
He's done it every week. Why is he going to do it this week?
For two reasons.
Okay.
Two reasons.
One, I bought the pizza.
Two, it's my music. It's my equipment. So. All right, let's hear it.
Well, for pure 80s-ness,
yep.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper.
Okay.
You watch that video, it looks 80s. It feels 80s. It's just everything about it. The colors, Captain Lou Albano. Like, the whole thing, it's 80s, 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 just unmistakable. That's why for that one. The other one is We Are the World. Mm. Because
everybody's in it.
Everybody, every American star that was anybody, just about, was in this video and song. Yeah. So.
I'm going to give it,
I just figured one.
Give you some leeway on that one.
I figured We Are the World would have been taken. So there's a couple other ones here I won't even mention.
Such as Hungry
Like a Wolf. But if I wanted to mention, what was that, Kevin?
Such as Hungry Like a Wolf.
Oh, yeah, I would have said that for sure. What else would I?
You guys are taxing and no, you can't do this. This
maybe
is premeditated.
Heart and Soul by Huey Lewis.
This is premeditated.
You know what,
you guys,
Kevin,
are
you're right. That is a very 80s issue.
You guys are not.
The Hungry Like a Wolf was so neat because
of the
it was
podcast.
Like, it's like a movie. They went to Sri Lanka, and it felt all like you're watching Indiana Jones. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very iconic.
You guys are
breaking rules.
We're talking about music. We could have drawn this podcast out for days.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Days. That's not what this is about.
Sorry, I know.
We're losing the spirit of the
The spirit of the podcast.
We're winding down the series, and we've got all this pent-up energy to spew out stuff.
But we still have one more category.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. So that brings us to the big one, right? We talk about 80s music. It's not as much the albums or the artists, it's the songs. Sari doesn't understand what I'm talking about. So we'll start with Snowball. And when you think about iconic 80s songs, what comes to mind?
Well, I only wrote down one, and now that I don't have time to research another one, this band should be called the Superpowers. But instead, they went with this name, USA for Africa. And if Rob had, you know, stayed to the rules and not listed more than one, it wouldn't have been mentioned yet. So,
oh,
we are the world.
That's your iconic.
What'd you think of that video? go ahead. It's yours. I mean, go ahead.
No, it was an iconic video. It was an iconic song. You know, my favorite part about it is Dan Aykroyd's in there singing.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. He's got these glasses on, looking all studious like a rock star. And...
yeah, Blues Brothers.
Yeah, that's his only claim, as far as I know, to music. Yeah. But yeah,
well, he was in the Blues Brothers.
Yes,
he had some
hits.
So what was cool about it was, you know, it was all to raise money for a good cause, you know, for Africa. But yeah, it's cool because that was kind of what was happening there in the middle of the 80s was all these different bands or groups getting together to come up with some kind of benefit.
Collaborations.
Or whatever. So, yeah. Definitely 80s for sure.
What about you, Matt?
My 80s song that I think that just, it's not, you know, again, it's not my favorite. It's not my, this is the coolest song ever. But when it comes on, I'm transported back. Probably Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
As soon as that clicks on, I mean... Because
opening note.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And then it brings in Breakfast Club, you know, at the end, you know, just, it ties in a lot of things to me, but it just, it doesn't say any other decade but the 80s to me. I mean, that's just straight 80s. So
that's a great one. That's a really good one.
That's my song.
Now, I'm going to throw one out that isn't my favorite song, but it screams the 80s, and it also kind of, you know, the 80s was the me generation, right? We came out of the 70s, and then the 80s was all about making money.
Me. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Material Girl by Madonna.
Oh!
So that kind of was like, you know, this idea of just material things as you could get. That's what the 80s was all about, right? So
yeah.
I'm good. I mean, well, like I said, not my favorite song, but...
We're all family here.
Yeah,
it's okay.
But you're right.
As a president of the General Hospital fan club. That
song is representational of our generations.
Yeah,
I mean, because she was kind of not just. I don't know that she was even so much singing a song about how we are, but it was almost kind of like. Leading us into it's about, I mean, she's kind of guiding us into being,
yeah, and she was even saying that song was kind of a not a parody, but she was like, everybody's being material. I wasn't trying to be materialistic, she said, but I was trying to show this is the way, sort of like the Beastie Boys, you got to fight for your right to party. They were kind of making fun of the kids that wanted to party all the time. She's kind of making fun of the people that want to be materialistic. So,
which, if you see the video, it kind of goes along with the same thing. The guy shows up in the nice car and stuff and finds out she's not into all that, so he gets rid of the car and shows up in an old truck with flowers. So.
Very good.
Rob, what's your top 15 songs?
See, it goes all the way around. It's not just, you know, that's good.
So, I have one here, which I'm not... I'm going to go with my other one instead because I think it may be a little more iconic because it is on the radio anytime, night or day, you turn the radio on, you'll hear Don't Stop Believin' by Journey.
There it is.
Yeah.
To me, that is the 80s song, iconic, the epitome, more than Jump by Van Halen.
Yeah.
But slightly, that was my original number one. Sorry. But
see that.
But Don't Stop Believin' would be the one for me. Like when those opening pianos playing, just a small town girl. I mean, that's to me. That's 80s.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you any kind of 80s streaming music, you know, that you're not programming yourself, you're gonna hear that in the loop pretty quick.
Yeah, if you go to karaoke, you're probably gonna hear that song. If you go to a sporting event, you might hear it. I mean, it's.
Yeah,
especially if you watch down.
A TV show or movie.
Which president used that as their? Was that Clinton or Barack? That was like their when they was announced the winner. They played that song.
Probably Hillary Clinton.
No, it was. You're thinking Bill Clinton did "Don't Stop" by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, that's what it was.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah. So
you're on the right track.
Yeah, I knew it was a "Don't Stop."
Yeah.
I was thinking I got some room by quitting, but
so.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, that all was. Right. Did you enjoy that?
That was good.
It was a great topic.
Fun. Every week has been fun.
So. Yeah,
it's been a great month.
It's been a great month.
I'm just glad the weather's starting to warm up.
Yeah, me too.
Tell you what,
that snow.
We started this thing. It was back in February. So yeah. Now that we're getting on the other side of that, it's.
We're into March now. This is nice.
I just love that it doesn't get so dark so early now.
It just seems like yesterday that big blizzard.
Oh, you remember that?
Yeah. It just seems just like yesterday.
Snowpocalypse.
Seems just like tomorrow. I mean, it's crazy. So long.
It's crazy.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. It was a great series. So we're going to have to come up with some more magic here real soon for you.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier, we're going to try to make this happen. So there is one York Steakhouse left.
Yes.
And I happen to know the owner personally. So I'm going to try to reach out to my buddy and see if we can do a podcast from York Steakhouse.
That'd be awesome.
So That'd be great.
So that'd be great.
We'll get it done. So, guys, thank you so much again. Appreciate you. And that's it for Living in the 80s.
That's the best we can remember it.
All right. The best we can remember
it. There it is.
All right. Hey, guys, we'll see you next week. Take care. God bless.
There it is.